Well, last year, of course, women marched. It was the Women's March. A big delegation got together from Duluth and headed out to Washington, D.C. to be a part of that march. And there was local coverage, regional coverage, national coverage of the Women's March. There were marches again this year. Some things were the same, some things were different. And Andrea Kraus joins us this morning live in the studio. She is one of the facilitators with the Feminist Action Collective, and they put together the 2018 Twin Ports Women's March, and she's here to give us a little bit of an insight into that. Andrea, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
So what was the same about the Women's March this year? Well, for one thing, there was a march a little different. There was a march here in town.
That's right.
Everybody didn't jump a bus and go out to D.C. But what were some of the things that you felt was the same that you wanted to carry forward into this year?
We wanted to stand together and build community. And let me say, too, there was a march in Duluth last year. Some of the folks that organized that march were a part of offering suggestions and tips to us as we pulled together community partners to work on the 2018 march. So while many of us were in D.C. or the Twin Cities, there were about 1,700 people last year in the Twin Ports that marched. That march was indoors and had some great speakers. This year, we wanted to come together with the message of, we are still here. We are going to continue to resist policies that discount our shared humanity, that silence the voices of many in our community, and we're going to persist in moving forward as a collective with many diverse voices working towards some common good.
So what do you think was different about the march this year? It's been a year. A lot of things have happened in this year. There's been a lot of upheaval for good and ill.
Yeah.
And how did you feel the zeitgeist, so to speak, of the event had maybe changed?
Well, I can speak from my own perspective on that. In that last year, there was a bit more of a sense of trauma close to the election. It was the day after the inauguration that people marched, and many people were coming together with a lot of heaviness and sadness, concern about what the future would hold. And something that really struck me about the march this year, a year since that time, was that there was a degree of celebration. Now, do I wish that we didn't have to march for equal rights for women and minorities and others? Yes, I wish that was the case. That's not the world we're living in right now. And so to me, the march was much more of a celebration this year, that we are still here. We're growing a coalition. A big part of what we wanted to do was pull in lots of collaborators for this march. And if you look on the march website or on the Facebook page for the Feminist Action Collective, you see the list of different organizations and businesses that were sponsoring this march.
It was a huge list.
It was incredible. There were so many individuals as well as organizations that stepped up and said, we want to offer our name to this activity. We support you. We are all for gender equality, pay equality, equal access to health care, and political representation. So our group, the Feminist Action Collective, is very much building off of the success and work of so many organizations that have been in this community doing this work for a very long time. And we want to bring those people in and keep pulling people together to build these strong coalitions to go forward with our strong relationships.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting is that I think many people had a more or less clear idea of what the path was forward. With the Women's March at the beginning of last year, kind of an agenda was laid out, and these are the sorts of things that we need to do to protect the disenfranchised and the vulnerable, and this is the direction that we're going to go. And then in the middle, toward the end of the year, everything kind of took this wild, wacky turn. With the Harvey Weinstein scandal and the Me Too movement,
yeah.
which I don't think anyone really respected or expected, rather, in a sense, because this is the sort of thing that we have lived with for so long that I don't think anybody ever expected that anything was going to change.
Sure.
Did that contribute? How do you feel that this sort of sea change culturally informed the Women's March?
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think there are a lot of people who are seeing the power of collective voices, women sharing their stories and experiences, not only sharing those, but being heard, being listened to, seeing not only people in power, but their friends and neighbors responding to them and believing them. That is, in and of itself, a sea change. And so to build on that, the fact that we hear you, we see you, we support you, that goes a long way in building community. A lot of times our efforts don't lead to the outcomes we hope for. There might be other things at play that we don't see, but building relationship and standing together with people will move us towards more hope and progress over the long term. So focusing on those relationship building steps is a big part of what we wanted to do with this march, and hearing voices from many different people is a big part in that.
There was a time when, in order to bring down the powerful, for example, all you could do was batter against the walls of that power, and you didn't get very far. Women that came forward that tried to report powerful people for sexual assault or harassment usually didn't get very far. Social media and the power of the internet age has allowed people to do an end run around the powerful. You don't have to go in one line through the wall anymore. You can do an end run around. And for better or worse, which is another conversation,
yeah.
you can bring your issue to the court of public opinion, in a sense. How does that inform the way people feel maybe empowered, or the way that they feel like, hey, we've got some new options to get our message across now?
Yeah, that's a complicated issue, I think. I mean, I started doing activism prior to the internet, Facebook being a thing, and it has really changed now coming back into activism with that as a major platform for getting messages across and bringing people together is something I'm still learning how to best negotiate. We spend a lot of time managing Facebook page conversations and keeping things respectful and safe for people to the best of our abilities. But you're absolutely right that it does provide another platform for people to express how they feel and see a coalition building that maybe goes beyond the people you can physically interact with. It extends that community in a really great way. So there's a lot of positives to it, that's for sure.
Definitely. There are negatives, and as a society, of course, we're always kind of lagging behind the technology a little bit with
sure.
How do we manage this in a way that is fair and respectful to all. But there are, especially in cases of some of these kind of really grievous injustices and harms, it's maybe good to see a new way forward without having to necessarily try to take it down from the inside.
Yeah.
Andrea,
yeah.
Where do you go from now? Do you start planning a march a year from now, or what happens in the next 12 months?
Well, we've got a lot going on right now. The Feminist Action Collective, tonight, if there are women or gender non-binary folks out there, join us at the Building for Women tonight. We have a new member meeting. So we'll talk about what committees and actions we're already working on, and how people can tap into that. But we also want to hear from people about what their vision is for our community and what initiatives they want to be working on and how we can support those. We don't have all the answers, but we want to help support people in working towards building that community. So they can come to our Feminist Action Collective meetings. In March is March 8th is International Women's Day, and the message for International Women's Day this year is Press for Progress, And that's exactly what we're going to keep doing. You know, we showed up a year ago, a year and a half ago, when this organization was formed. It was only formed the day after the election in 2016, but we've been fighting everyday sexism in a whole myriad of ways. We've been working to protect women's access and rights to health care and reproductive services. We've worked hard to get women elected into office and find ways to help people engage in all of these processes. And we're going to continue working on building collaborations in our community so that we can be stronger together. But for the International Women's Week, we'll have storytelling, poetry, music, all of that programming at Beaner's. There will be the second WTF art show. And we'll be looking at a Red Tent Caucus with bringing women leaders and the community together to talk about how we can go forward more effectively.
If folks want to stay connected to what you're up to, is your Facebook page the best spot, or a website, or what's the best way for people to kind of keep their finger on the pulse of what you're up to?
Both of those are great. There's more conversation and dialogue happening on our Facebook page. We have both a public page as well as a closed group for discussion. So Feminist Action Collective on Facebook.
We'll get some links set up so it'll be easy for people to
find. And then we have a website as well, and check out our podcast, Feminists Ruin Everything, meaning all the structures that we need to dismantle. So yeah, check us out online.
Andrea, we'll get some links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find the content. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Andrea Krause is one of the facilitators of the Feminist Action Collective.